You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It is 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by a candidate for governor. She has been a guest on the show before. It's been too long. Representative Francesca Hong is here. Good morning, Representative. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, happy to be here. Good morning, Jane. Hi, Greg. What's up, Calvin?
Good to see you. Before you joined us, before the top of the hour news, Representative Hong, we were talking about the idea that got floated over the weekend coming out of apparently Mar-a-Lago of 50-year mortgages. And I don't know if you heard about this fabulous idea that apparently came to Donald Trump when some member of his administration brought him a poster with a picture of FDR on it, and it said 30-year mortgage underneath. And on the other side was a picture of Trump that said 50-year mortgage, and at the top it said Great American Presidents. So Donald Trump tweeted that over the weekend, or he truthed it. He put it on Truth Social. 50-year mortgages, what a great idea.
I can't say that great ideas comes out of the Trump regime. Most of them are quite questionable, and I think it's pretty dangerous to trust what's coming out of there. But it's, you know, I didn't think that FDR and Trump would be in the same context together.
Yeah. That's even just the same poster. I think FDR was trying to get away from him on that poster. Move me away from this. You've decided to enter the race for governor. Tell us, Representative Hong, what you can bring to that office that your challengers cannot.
I'm a community organizer, and this moment requires movement politics. And being a community organizer, former small business owner, service industry worker still, and that single mom that's got 5 years of legislative experience under my belt, I think that I am the relatable candidate, the working class candidate. And the candidate that is going to not only expand the electorate, but actualize being a big tent party, uniting the left, bringing in moderates, even some independents. And these are the folks who are already showing up to our meet and greets and events across the state.
From what I have seen, and these are early days, we have a long way to go, but, and even though these are not interchangeable words, I see the Marxist, socialist, feminist, communist label all getting thrown on you.
That was expected. I'm not new to all of the isms and the different forms of discrimination since, you know, I would say they've been amplified since I've gotten into the state legislature. But we, you know, this is about affordability, making sure working class people have their needs met, and that we need an economy that works for everyone and not just the wealthiest few and the oligarchs. And so they can throw out all the words they want, try to make this about labels and identity, but this should be about working class people across the state.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, when we talk about Wisconsin, we talk about working class, blue collar. We are folks who work for a living. We earn our paychecks. And something I always want to ask candidates is going to these events, talking to the people, knocking on doors, what are you hearing from people that may, you know, not share the political habits of myself or you? What are the things you're hearing that unite us as far as, you know, the message, the concerns? What are you hearing from the people who are talking to you about your campaign that say, it doesn't matter who you vote for, these are the problems we all face together?
Living wages. I mean, I think folks are working 2-3 jobs trying to make ends meet. Families across Wisconsin, we pride ourselves in working hard, and it shouldn't take 2-3 jobs to be able to make ends meet and care for yourself, your loved ones, and your communities. And speaking of care, I hear a lot about the care economy. You know, we're an aging state. And long-term elder care is a huge issue regardless of zip code. So how we're taking care of our elderly, the sick, the disabled, which then, you know, folks get excited when I talk about paid leave for all, and that no one should have to choose between paying rent and having to go to work. And then childcare, as well as public education. You know, our public schools are the heart of our communities. They are some of the largest employers, especially in smaller areas, more rural areas. They're where celebrations, athletic events, things that are very meaningful to communities happen. And right now, with over a decade of underfunding and privatization efforts, our public schools are under threat. And so folks want to talk about, you know, the things that they care about are things that help them care for themselves and their loved ones. And so we're hearing this on the doors at events, and I'm talking to folks online about it too.
If you're just joining us, Representative Francesca Hong is our guest. We are talking about her bid to be the next governor of Wisconsin and what she's hearing on the campaign trail. I'm curious, we had a listener share earlier this morning, Representative, when we were talking about our tax dollars. Are folks aware that we are funding two separate school systems with private schools and public schools? Because a listener texted in who was talking to a friend, and she said he had no idea that our tax dollars are funding not just public schools, but private schools.
More and more folks are becoming aware. We saw a record number of referenda that happened back in 2024, 241 in fact, and the majority of them passed. And when you are talking about property taxes and communities that are having to raise taxes on themselves because the legislature has been underfunding schools and siphoning off resources to private schools, folks are asking questions. We've got more organizers for public schools than we have before. And the folks who are talking about public schools, it's not just parents and folks who have direct connections. We've got the realtors associations. We've got different small business groups. They know how much public schools mean to communities and the local economy. And so the fact that it's been years of siphoning off public dollars and resources to private schools, people are hearing about it and they're pissed. And we're working on that transparency. Green Bay actually just passed a resolution where you will see on your property tax bill how much of your dollars are going to private schools.
Well, and I know for a lot of people, and I've spoken to some teachers about this, the problem isn't so much with just the voucher program. It's that if you could even start with, these schools must be accountable. These schools must have a standard be created for them to meet in order to get these tax dollars.
What a crazy
instead
idea.
Of just literally shoveling dollars at these buildings to do whatever they want. And they can take students and they're like, oh, you're queer. Sorry, you don't get to be here anymore. And you get to keep the money. It's about, you know, if you want to take those dollars and use them, there must be a standard, and they're not meeting anything right now. And that's very frustrating to teachers. And I'm sure to people now who are finding out about two separate school systems.
I mean, for the majority party of Republicans, the hypocrisy knows no bounds, right? Mm-hmm. I'm on the committee of the GOAT, which is like the Wisconsin version of DOGE, Government Oversight, Accountability, and Transparency. It's a really, really good time over there. but to talk about transparency and accountability and local control, big government, when it conveniences them, their special interest, and the stakeholders, and then go after the fact that when we demand transparency and accountability to a voucher program where, as you said, schools can discriminate, they can pick their students. We're not learning about the curriculum and what's going on with educators. Educators don't have to be licensed through DPI at some of these public schools or private schools.
Right.
And so this is incredibly frustrating to voters and communities across the state. And the majority party should be held accountable because they have been the ones underfunding our schools for over a decade.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me, as Greg said, too, that there is no governing body that these private schools have to report to. If this were a program that Republicans did not support, the screeching would be unending. How can we possibly give them money when they don't have to come back to us and explain what they did with it?
And Wisconsinites have a right to have a say in where their tax dollars go. I mean, I've been a taxpayer in this state since I was 16 years old, and I want them to go to public schools, good roads, making sure that we've got great public libraries, and, you know, things that make our communities great places to live and improve quality of life. Instead, we're siphoning off tax dollars to private schools that, as you mentioned, are unaccountable and don't have the same standards of transparency that our public schools do. It's, and you know, there, it's anti-democratic. You know, it's not just Wisconsin. We've seen the privatization movement and taking away resources and undermining public schools and public institutions happen across the country for, you know, over a generation now.
Yep.
And it's deliberate. It's because public education is one of the last remaining democratic institutions, and this is an undemocratic party that's unserious about preserving democracy, so they go after public institutions.
And one of the things they've done over the past, at least in Wisconsin, you know, specifically over the past, what are we, 15 years, time's an illusion, is vilifying the school systems, the teachers, making them seem like the, if it's everyone's problem but the problem at hand, which is just simply funding. And one of the big things that Wisconsin did was Act 10. And in your, and the things we've been looking at, you said you want to end Act 10 permanently, get rid of it. And not only that, but make sure we can never go back to that because it has harmed our teachers, our schools, and our students.
Absolutely. Collective bargaining and the right to a union is a basic right. And I think that repealing Act 10 is the bare minimum. This has to be about ensuring fair wages and good working conditions, making sure that people understand that undermining workers is how we undermine. I mean, these are the folks, workers are who make our society run. And to undermine their rights was very deliberate. And so this is why I'm fighting not only to repeal Act 10, but to make sure things like paid leave for all, fully funding our public schools, free and universal childcare, these are things that are important to workers and our families, and we should be pushing for the bold policies that are going to meet the urgency of this moment and make sure families have what they need to be able to afford where they live, have a good quality of life, and live with dignity.
I think it's also important just to remind folks, because we tend to forget, Act 10, enacted under Scott Walker and the Republican legislature, essentially gutted every union if they could not depend upon a reliable Republican vote. So the groups that they could pretty much count on voting for Scotty Walker, they were fine. Mm-hmm. It was all the other unions that were penalized, mm-hmm. essentially. That's just an important little piece there.
Absolutely. And just going back to educators, they are some of the hardest working people, and it's an incredibly difficult job, and they care so much about our children. And it's not an, you know, a teacher shortage. It's a teacher exodus that was caused by disrespect and the inability to organize in their workplace. And that is what the Walker administration, the Republicans, were intending to do. And so we have to rebuild that respect for educators and make sure that these are the folks who are in the classroom with our kids. They know best.
And we all found out how hard educating is during the pandemic. Another little mm-hmm. reminder.
I don't have children.
We might have forgotten about. Representative Francesca Hong is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation with her, so stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Wisconsin Representative Francesca Hong talking about her bid for Wisconsin governor.
And we brought up in the previous segment about throwing all of those evil titles of communism and socialism and all those things that people don't generally know, but it doesn't stop them from saying those words. And one thing that you have done is you are part of the Democratic Socialist Caucus in Madison. You have spoken in high praise of Zoran Mamdani, mayor-elect. And I want to know, in the age of his running and what we saw on Tuesday, have you had people come to you on the campaign trail curious on the topic, I should say. The socialist curious.
Democrat socialist curious.
And I'm not saying they want to join the group or buy their merch. That's right. They have merch. But like really trying to parse out the truths about what you stand for versus the unending false rhetoric coming at you for simply saying, I just believe in the workers and people.
Democratic socialism is about democracy, society, and democratizing our economy. There are practical solutions that so many working class people across the state agree on when it comes to making life affordable and making sure we have a life of dignity. I'm happy to welcome the folks who are, you know, democratic socialists adjacent and interested in either joining our caucus or talking more about the policies that really matter to us and what we are fighting for. Universal school meals, I am so proud of that legislation that we've introduced a couple sessions now. It's hard. You would think that there wouldn't be opposition to feeding all kids, but can't be surprised by the Republican Party. But this is, you know, this is what it's about, making sure that folks have their basic needs met and that we're taking care of our kids and our most vulnerable.
For, Representative, when you talk about this, there's always going to be the question of, well, that all sounds great. How are we going to pay for it?
I have to go back to, you know, having our tax dollars going to things that communities across the state care about, and not our tax dollars going to give tax breaks to the wealthiest few, the Diane Hendricks and John Menards of the world, and to mega corporations who are getting, you know, have tax loopholes that they're taking advantage of, whether it's the manufacturing and agriculture tax here in Wisconsin, that basically makes it so that they pay very little to no income tax. And so when we build revenues by having a fair tax system and that we're doing things like legalizing weed, there are ways that we can make sure we're investing in the programs that people have been asking for and that the people deserve to have those opportunities to have their own freedom to choose how they want to live their life and make sure that they have, you know, economic security and can afford to live in our state and have a great life.
If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, Representative Francesca Hong is our guest. We are talking about her entering the race to be the next Wisconsin governor.
And I think that's what comes down to ultimately is the conversation and informing people when someone wants to come at you and say, well, how are you going to pay for this? And you can simply say, we have the money. It's just not going to us. It's going to the 1% of the 1% who doesn't really need it, but they'll get it. We have it. We could pay for this.
Yeah, and even if they don't agree with me, I want them to be able to access these very important investments that the state should make, because government should be a force of good. And we should be providing opportunities and choices for folks to be able to work where they want, live where they want, because there's good, high quality schools, free childcare, opportunities for small businesses to strengthen a local economy. And so even if folks may not agree with me, I want them to have great healthcare and affordable high healthcare. I want them to have access to elder care and resources, and you know, that we take care of our environment and hold polluters accountable. These are things that, you know, regardless of if you agree with me or not, or you want to see me as someone that has much different political ideology than you, I still want these things for you and your community.
I mean, you're governing for all the people, not just for the people who voted for you or gave money to your ballroom. I'm just saying,
And I would think too that a lot of the things that you mentioned, Representative, though, we talk all the time about how Wisconsin needs more young people and we need younger families. Well, if you want a young family to move here, you have to give them some incentives, like helping with childcare, like making sure their kids are going to get fed at school. These shouldn't be difficult things.
Yeah,
and we've got extra perks like amazing cranberry bogs that you can go visit. You know, the only publicly owned NFL team in the country, our small market, scrappy sports teams that I think everyone can fall in love with. And so when we have these investments for from the state. And then we've got amazing, you know, culture here in Wisconsin. We should be able to have more folks want to live here in Wisconsin and become Wisconsinites.
I just want to stop looking at Minnesota and going, God, you get it right like
every
time.
I wish we were you. Representative Francesca Hong is running for governor of Wisconsin. We will include all of the links to your campaign and all of the related information in our show notes. So check that out at civicmedia.us. Representative Hong, thank you so very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Jane, Greg, Calvin, thank you so much for having me. Please take care.
You as well. We have news coming up next. When we return, we will lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. We'll get away from the news and talk about what is your time waster. That's all coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on this Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or even leave a voice note if you have the app at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream. Hello, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks to Representative Francesca Hong for taking time out to talk to us. If you missed our conversation, you can always go back and listen on the web. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows at the very top. Go to Matt Nair on Air. Click on that, and that will take you to at least 2 months' worth of shows. Yeah. Greg does a really good job with the show notes, explaining what we were talking about. He includes links to articles and all that fabulous stuff. So check it out and go to civicmedia.us. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we lighten up. Get away from the news. Audio Sorbet, essentially where we...
clean your ears with fun.
Yes. So... this morning.
Yeah.
We were talking off the air.
Trying to find out something to discuss.
Just kicking things around. And our sales manager, Chris, came into the back. And he was talking about what he does on weekends.
Yeah.
He putters, he said.
He putters.
He putters.
He does what he calls time wasters.
Yeah. I dispute his classification of this as time wasting.
It only made me feel bad about my entire life.
Right? It just made us feel worse.
Yeah.
Chris, on weekends, when he has nothing on his schedule and he has nothing planned, he'll just walk around and look at things that need to get done, and then he does them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's not a time waster.
What kind of world are you living in?
Is it? I went to the camper and I... took out the battery. Oh, I did.
I vacuumed.
I started winterizing the house outside. Like, he's like, puttering to me is walking around the house or sitting around and doing nothing.
Moving a tchotchke.
That's
puttering.
Dusting one thing.
Is
and then using that as, like, I did that.
I accomplished
laundry
thing today.
Is the greatest time waster / puttering / chore, period. Because you do it, you throw it in there. And then you have an hour. You're going to sit on the couch, watch a show. What are you doing? I'm doing laundry right now.
Yes, even though it's doing it by itself.
Yeah, I am supervising the laundry.
How do you waste time? What is your time waster? Are you like our colleague Chris?
Who's not wasting time?
He actually accomplishes things while he says he's puttering.
What does he accomplish when he's in accomplished time?
I'm afraid to even think about it.
Yeah.
I couldn't even reach that level.
Yeah.
How do you waste time? 855-752-4842. We've talked in the past about I'm not good at a lot of things. I am really good at procrastinating.
Oh, gosh. I am.
So unlike Chris, who will look around his house on a Saturday morning and go, oh, I should do that. I should vacuum. I'll look around my house and go, yeah, I should vacuum and I should dust that and I should probably clean out the fridge. Yeah, I'm not going to do any of those things.
Chris is, I clean the fridge. I should clean the fridge. Oh, but they released a new season of insert show name here.
I have to do that instead.
And by the way, when we say time wasters, we like that is up for your definition. If you're more like Chris, where time waster is apparently just wasting time till you go to bed and you get things done, or if it is truly sitting on the couch reading a book or watching a show or just staring off into the middle distance trying to understand life as a concept and time as a construct. What are your time wasters? We want to know from you.
Maybe you just sit on your back patio and look at stuff.
Yeah.
Look outside. Look around.
Yeah. I would say, my time waster is really and I've talked about this before, like, I come home from work and I sit on our couch, my chair and a half. I love a chair and a half.
Okay.
Makes me feel very comfy.
Okay.
If I take my shoes off, it's over.
Nothing will happen.
It's almost guaranteed that nothing will get done. So I will leave my shoes on with something knowing that I need to do and tell myself, all right, you can have an hour. You're done with work. Sit down, relax, eat some lunch, and then go do something. And I've been getting better and better at that, but it is tough. And here's the problem, Jane, and tell me if you've done the same thing. Let's say you do a project.
Mm-hmm.
You do something that takes you a few hours.
Yeah.
You feel real good.
Great.
Then that next day you're like, well, I did that yesterday, so I have earned 8 to 12 hours of pure nothingness because I did some laundry.
I did a thing yesterday.
I use every project I do to waste time later. That's what I'm realizing right now.
How do you waste time? What is your time waster? No judgment. We're just curious.
Yeah,
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS, says, I'll go hunt on public land. I know there's a 95% chance I won't see any deer, but I still love being in nature. That's great, John. It's going for a walk.
There you go.
You're going for a walk.
Which
is fabulous. Yeah. We should all do more of that.
I tell myself all the time, get the dog on the leash, go for like a 40-minute walk.
Go to the dog park.
Oh, I love that. Because then I'm doing something and I get to sit there.
And watch her. Yes. What is your time waster? 855-752-4842. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK. I putter by looking at vacations abroad online. Those darn Viking cruise mailers. Oh, that's good, Liz. That's a great time waster.
Before we bought the house, and we got serious about buying a house, both Bridget and I were getting pretty big into scrolling Zillow looking at the way too expensive houses and saying, well, this would be really nice. I'm like, yeah, are one of us an athlete?
Yeah. Wish shopping.
Yeah.
It's called wish shopping. How do you waste time? 855-752-4842. I will go down rabbit holes on the web, kind of like Liz in Saukville.
Yeah.
But if I get curious about something, so last week I got on this hair extension thing in my own head.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about, and actually I talked about this with Todd when I joined his show yesterday afternoon. This is actually a thing. It's called Mar-a-Lago face.
Oh, boy.
Where women are going to plastic surgeons saying, I want to look like the women who belong to Mar-a-Lago. That's an actual thing.
Yeah,
there are articles about it.
Yeah.
But the thing that I have noticed are the hair extensions.
Yeah.
And so I went down a hair extension rabbit hole the other day for an hour and a half. And do you have any idea how expensive those are if they're done well?
Yes.
Thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands. It's like a side mortgage.
If they're done right, you can make a lot of money doing that kind of stuff.
But absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, I get that. I mean, I've gone down so many rabbit holes on YouTube because
you're curious about something.
And what's funny is that I will go on YouTube and say, I just don't feel like watching a show or a movie. Because that's like 45 minutes, that's an hour and a half, that's 2 hours, depending on what it is. And then I'm happy to watch a 2-hour YouTube documentary that I don't know how dedicated they are to, quote, facts. But I'm like, oh, I like this topic. And I'll watch 2 hours of that. And then I realize now it's dark out.
And I've done nothing.
Yeah.
What is your time waster? That is our audio sorbet question for today. 855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says, I waste time watching YouTube videos all day.
YouTube streams, he said.
Oh, YouTube streams.
Thanks. I think.
855-7, no judgment.
855-752-4842. Well, we're streaming on YouTube right now.
And he's watching us.
he's wasting his time.
855-75-CIVIC. Ben from West Bend is on the line. Good morning, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. My big thing, I like video games. I like gaming online. I just got myself a VR headset.
Oh.
So I know a guy I follow on TikTok. He streams all the time. We're become online buddies. That's a new one. I like video games. I don't necessarily on it constantly. I do go out. I try to do some stuff every so often. But I mean, if it's raining out,
sure.
I don't want, I'm not going to go anywhere or something. But yeah, I like video games.
Ben, how cool is the VR? And have you actually ever hurt yourself by swinging at something? Because that's my biggest concern is I'm going to hurt myself somehow.
It's very cool. You got to get used to it. I mean, it's a different, your senses are different. You got to do the opposite. Don't swing. I think some games you have to swing or whatever. I just started like this weekend, so I'm fairly new to it.
Pretty new. Okay.
Okay. I also like how Ben said on a rainy day. I mean, for me, it's about a rainy day or if it's sunny out or if it's cloudy out or if it's daytime or nighttime or morning
easier,
or evening.
It's easier to justify if the weather is lousy.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because otherwise we guilt ourselves. Thank you, Ben, by the way.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
It's like, I should make myself go.
Cal, what about you? I think I know what the answer is going to be, but what are your time wasters of choice?
Well, see, that's the thing is if it's something I want to be doing, I don't consider it a time waster. So I don't consider video games, TV shows, movies, or books.
Well, my list is empty now.
Time wasters. I think time wasters are things that I don't want to necessarily be doing, but take me away from things I do want to be doing. Primarily, that would be doom scrolling.
Okay.
Yeah. I waste a lot of time scrolling on Twitter and Reddit. I would rather be playing video games or books, but it's just, or reading books, but it's just a compulsion.
Yeah. It really is now. I have the same compulsion. Yeah. My husband laughs at me all the time. If I go anywhere without my phone, he's like, where's your third arm?
I've made you turn things off in the past, on commercial breaks, you'll just be getting so much angry about the stories. Like, turn it off. We're not talking about that right now.
Oh, my phone. Yeah. When I find checking Twitter.
I can't do Twitter anymore. I'm sorry. I just
It's a sewer. What is your time waster? That is our audio sorbet conversation for today. 855-752-4842. Judy from East Troy. Beers by the fire. That sounds nice.
That sounds great. I think that sounds great. I don't know if that's a time waste. I feel like that's
a time chilling.
That's an enjoy. You've earned that. To build a fire, to do that, that's work in and of itself, in my opinion.
Now you have the whole next day off.
What'd you do? I built a fire. Oh my gosh. Did you do that to sustain life? No, I just wanted a beer.
Tony on the live stream responding to PJ, who says he watches YouTube streams. Tony says, that's my research for work.
There you go.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Tony's on the stream all the time.
Yeah, I said this while we were discussing this off air. It's like if I can keep the shoes on, if I keep the shoes on, I will be able to possibly get something done, depending on what that thing is. And sometimes it's just simple as, hey, I'm gonna go empty the dishwasher, take out the trash, do real 10-year-old chores. That honestly, when you think about it, because the things that Chris talks about, I'm sure probably take 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But you still feel accomplished.
Absolutely. However you waste time, we're good with it.
Yeah. I support you.
Even if your puttering involves actually accomplishing
doing things.
I don't know how you do that. All right. When we return, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is...
The Dingo Ate My Baby edition.
Yep. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Mirror on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mirror on air. Jane Matt Mirror, Greg Bach. Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, already Wednesday.
My goodness, it's like I've only been here for a day.
New York Times bestselling author Andra Watkins will be here in hour number one. Andra has been a guest on the show before. If you've missed her, she grew up in a white nationalist household.
Christian nationalist.
A white Christian nationalist household, and speaks with a lot of insight into Project 2025, certain members of the Trump administration who are pretty much Christian nationalists and very proudly so.
Oh, they're not pretty much. They are. Yeah, they're proud. There's nothing wrong with it to them.
But Andra also has a Substack that I encourage you to follow, but she talked about the cutting of SNAP, which is in Project 2025, and the plan to force people to go to religious institutions for help once the government stops providing that. So we're going to talk to that to Andra about that coming up tomorrow. And then in hour number two, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here, friend of the show, lots going on. We talked briefly with her a couple of weeks ago about Republicans in Wisconsin now want to change the definitions of things so women can get the health care they need. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
So that's all on the way tomorrow. I hope you can join us. Right now, Calvin, it's 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, you can send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from ABC Australia.
Ah, ABC Australia.
Dingoes.
Dingoes.
Could soon be frolicking with dachshunds and labradoodles in Queensland dog parks under regulation changes being considered by the Australian government. Under the plan, the Queensland Department of Primary Industries will reclassify dingoes as Canis familiaris, or a domestic dog. This would allow people to keep dingoes as pets. Scientists, traditional owners, and wildlife organizations say this is a bad idea. They are actual predators. I mean, dogs are predators. Cats are predators. Dingoes, said Alex Livingston, says the changes will bring serious cultural and ecological risks. Dingoes are not dogs, she said. Dingoes were long considered to be native wildlife in Australia. They say this is going to make a lot of problems if they decide to do this. Dingo ownership is currently allowed in New South Wales and Western Australia, both states struggling with overbreeding and now an increase in unwanted dingoes, which we don't want.
I don't know how to feel about this because up until this story, I had no idea. Because the only reference I have to dingoes is the dingo, maybe the dingo at your baby.
It's a Meryl Streep movie.
Well, I also think of Seinfeld.
Oh,
it's live from Seinfeld. But like, if you would have asked me to tell you what a dingo looked like, I'd have been like, I don't know, a cross between a Tasmanian devil. By the way, and I'm talking Looney Tunes, not what an actual Tasmanian devil looks
right,
like.
Right, right.
And like a coyote.
It's kind of like a...
It looks like a dog.
It looks like a dog coyote-ish, you know?
It looks... I'm sorry, but they're sweet, cute little puppers. I shouldn't be in charge of this.
No.
Because I'd be like, come here and let me pet you.
Yeah, no. Animal expert Dr. Cairns says dingoes are much smarter, much better able to escape traditional home environments in terms of just climbing up fences.
Yeah.
They don't generally fit into most domestic settings as easily. I just tell people, you can't have a dingo. They're not a dog. It's not a pet. If you want a dog, my friends, there's lots of dogs to adopt.
Yeah, but some people need to be need to do something to set themselves apart from others. So they have to say, I don't have a dog. I have a dingo. And it's not going to make you more interesting at a dinner party. People are just going to say, well, I'm never going to your house. It's like people who say, I have a ferret. I'm like, nope, never going to your house. Ferrets are gross. They smell weird. They're not pets.
Again, if you want a unique pet, I don't know. Not dingo. Don't dingo.
It's a dingo, not a doggo.
Just say no to dingo.
But tell me you don't want to pet that dingo. Tell me that being. I'm gonna.
Well,
put the,
you want to pet bears.
I want to pet all animals. All right, Jane. Because in my head, all animals are scared and need my help because I have that misfiring in my brain. But that, and I'm gonna put this story on the show notes. They're cute.
They are cute.
They're cute and pettable, and they're scritchable. Yeah. And I want to give them all the pets.
Don't do that.
Little pupper duppers.
Dingo still ate her baby. That wraps up.
What did the baby do?
Was he determined? That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media and all of our guests. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just the teeniest little bit and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next. Followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Pete Schwabba, and so much more on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.